Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, I'm Paco Romain.
And I'm George Chen. And you're listening to SupDoc, a show where we talk to our interesting friends from the worlds of comedy writing, TV, and film about all their favorite documentaries. Now, today's episode is a little bit different.
That's right. This was a live panel during the 17th San Francisco Doc Fest at the Roxy Theater in San Francisco. Freaks and Geeks, the documentary, airs on A&E. We spoke with director and friend of the pod, Brent Hodgie, and comedians Kelly Anakin and David Klein.
Freaks and Geeks, the documentary, is a loving portrayal of Paul Feig's creation and all the stars that came out of it. Freaks and Geeks heralded a new generation in comedy with actors like Seth Rogen, Martin Starr, Linda Cardellini, and Jason Segel. This documentary even has interviews with the programmers of NBC and the singer of Styx for some reason.
This was a crazy night in the Mission because we recorded immediately after the Golden State Warriors won on Friday, June 8th.
And Paco was sick that night, too. So
that's right.
You might hear that on the mic.
You probably will. And now here's our panel. Awesome. I want to introduce myself. My name is Paco Romain. This is George Chen. And we have a podcast devoted to documentaries called SupDoc. And so we're going to do a live SupDoc recording now for the next 20, 30 minutes, where we talk to Brent Hodgie, the director, and a couple comedians that were big fans of the show and the documentary. So if you guys want to just hang out, relax, we'll have a Q&A afterwards, too, where you can ask Brent some questions or the comedians.
Yeah. I'm a lot louder than you, I just realized. Let's bring up the director of the film, Brent Hodgie, everyone.
Thank you.
There he is. Hi, Brent.
Hi.
Let's check your mic.
Yeah, testing. Can you hear me?
Working out. Awesome. Sounds good. So this is Brent Hodgie, the director of this documentary. Give him a big hand.
Thank you. Yeah.
This was awesome, by the way. Very good job. Did you watch Freaks and Geeks growing up?
I did. I watched it on DVD, though. I didn't watch it when it was on TV. I don't think you could find it on TV. I don't know very many people that watched it on NBC.
How many people here watched it on NBC?
Yeah. Oh, mine. Wow. There's a lot of people. Yeah.
That is a lot of people. Awesome. I have to ask, before we bring up Kelly and David, what the fuck is up with the guy from Styx?
Okay. Okay, this is a great story. Okay, so Dennis DeYoung, when we first did this doc, A&E commissioned it, and they just wanted like a few of the A-listers to explain Freaks and Geeks, and that was it. And I was like, no, we're doing the Freaks and Geeks doc. I got a hold of Judd. I said, this is the official doc. We're going to make it happen. I'm getting all the cast creators. We're going to get Sarah Hagen, like Millie. We're going to get Harris, Stephen Lee Shepherd. We're going to get everyone, not just A-listers. And I said, I have to get the Joan Jett song covered by my friend Hannah Georges, and I have to get that Styx song. And so I got a hold of Dennis DeYoung, and he said, meet me backstage at my concert. He still tours. And he's a lunatic, like an absolute
that comes
lunatic.
Across.
And he goes, meet me backstage in Staten Island and come see me play live. And so he played, and my girlfriend went on stage. Like, it was the weirdest night. And he said, you can interview me for this. Oh, no, sorry. You can have my song as long as you interview me in the film. And I was like, okay, fine. Sounds good. So he gave us the song for free as long as he was in the film. And then he ended up being like this guru wizard from the desert. I was like, shit, you're phenomenal. And so it turned out, but
Yeah, I'm like friends with Dennis DeYoung from Styx now. It's the weirdest life ever. And
you got to make the Mr. Roboto documentary now.
Yeah, yeah. They've had some hits. Yeah. Like going to their concert, I'm like, wow, there's actually some major hits here. But he's phenomenal. And also, I should print this email. The email he first sent me is like, he cares about the show so much. He's like, it's about a young kid having the courage to ask that cheerleader out that he could never get. And the Styx song switches right at the right moment. But he drums everything up within him and all of his youth. Like, it's really beautiful what the show represents for him.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations on getting that nutty-ass rock and roller to be a part of this. Let's bring up our other guests, George.
Let's bring up a huge Freakin' Geeks fan and a podcaster who has a podcast about Handmaid's Tale called Red All Over. Get up for Kelly Anakin, everyone.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Brent, thank you for this movie. Yeah. I'm like getting very emotional.
Yeah,
because I did watch the show from the premiere. I was obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. And I was part of like the letter writing campaign to save it. Like, my family had just gotten a computer with the internet. We had dial-up. And I wrote a little email in a form, and I was like, I love this show. Please don't cancel it. And then they canceled it.
Yeah, we didn't get into this as much, but there was a fan group that put an ad in Variety. It's kind of there quickly at the end, but there was real super fans for the show.
Yeah, well, and I love the copy on that ad because it's so all of us like geeks who like love the show and like wish we were freaks, and we were like, we are going to be very direct. We're going to write, we love the show, please don't cancel it. And surprisingly, that did not work.
We also have another San Francisco comedian who is also a friend of yours, Brent. Hey, it's David Klein, everyone. David Klein. Let's get you talking, and we'll hear your voice.
It took me a lot of effort not to cry watching that, so thank you.
I just want to say one thing. So when we do these screenings, this is our 11th premiere, not to like make you guys not special, but I lived in San Francisco.
The 11 share that they had on Freaks and Geeks.
Is it? Exactly. But I lived in San Francisco for 5 years, and one of the first things I did was went and saw David perform. You guys remember Lost Weekend video? He used to do a comedy show, and George hosted it. And then George and Paco had me on their podcast. This was when I was first making documentaries. Right. And so it's really special to, I want to call it like third home, maybe second home, San Francisco, and coming back and doing this. So thank you guys for doing this with us.
You're welcome. You're welcome for being on Sup Doc, the podcast.
Yeah, he did a film about Chris Farley, which is great. And we had we interviewed him about that. And that was, you can get the back episode of that on the podcast website. Yeah. David, were you a big fan of this show, Freaks and Geeks?
I don't think as much as anyone here, but now I'm going to rewatch this like a lunatic.
Yeah, and Kelly, obviously you were, and Brent, how did you get into this project specifically?
So from the Chris Farley doc, actually. So people don't know this, but Judd Apatow produced The Cable Guy. That was one of his first movies.
Oh.
And Chris Farley was supposed to be the original Cable Guy. Yeah.
Not Jim Carrey?
Yeah, it was originally Chris Farley, and then Jim Carrey. Yeah, Jim Carrey, the network wanted Jim Carrey, or I can't remember who did it, Paramount wanted Jim Carrey. And so we got a hold of Judd Apatow to be in the Chris Farley doc. He gave his blessings. He didn't want to be a part of it. But then he watched the film and got a hold of us and said, I really liked it. Like, you really told Chris's story, which I was honored about. And I said, we should work together on something. Obviously, it's Judd Apatow. And it ended up, I said, we'd love to do the Freaks and Geeks doc. So he said, yes, you should do it. You just have to get a hold of Paul. And I'm Canadian, and Paul's mom's from Windsor, Ontario, if there's any Canadians in the crowd. And it was like my shoe-in. So that's how it started. That's how it happened.
That's awesome. I didn't know that. I'm interested. Did you guys have a crush in high school that you always wanted to ask out? And if so, what happened?
You want to take this?
Yeah, I had a crush, and I was too much of a wuss, and now as an adult, I don't even remember her name. So I feel okay about it. I honestly don't.
Was she a cheerleader?
No, she was not a cheerleader.
Fair enough.
I went to an all-boys Catholic school. There was no one I was interested in there. I went to Chinese school on the weekends, which is a thing you have to do if you're in any ethnicity. You have to just, in case you have to go back, you got to learn the language. There was like girls there. Oh, I went to a prom with a girl who I knew from my stepmom's church. And so it wasn't like, it was just like the only person that asked me to go to a thing. I'm like, I'm going to go. It's like someone else's school. It wasn't great. Wasn't a great experience. But I didn't have to ask anything. I got asked out is what I'm saying. That's cool. All right.
I was in show choir. And there was this really tall guy named Bill Hauer. And he was very handsome.
Bills are always really tall.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what it's about, but he was very tall and handsome for Southwest Ohio. And I was really into him, and I never asked him out. But one time I forgot my show choir outfit, and he had to drive to my house with me at like 90 miles per hour and pick it up. And I had to change into it in the car. So I'm pretty sure we're still common law married.
But this happens after every Freaks and Geeks screening. It's like high school therapy. I don't know why, but everyone comes up to me and tells me their high school stories. So this is normal. Just to let you know. What was the question?
Did
crush?
You guys have dating in Canada?
So I wasn't even a freak or a geek in high school. I was like Freddie Prinze Jr. Like, what? What's so funny?
From Scooby-Doo?
No, not in She's All That. In I Know What You Did Last Summer. No. He throws somebody in the water in that. I had a high school crush and I got to make out with her. Unlike you guys.
Show's over.
So you were a jock is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I played hockey. I was a jock.
What year? When did you start making Freaks and the Geeks, the documentary? What year? How long did it take you?
So we finished this last July. So it's actually been in the vault for a while, but it didn't take us very long to make this. So as soon as Judd and Paul said yes to this film, it was like 6 months, maybe 5 months. And we did most of the interviews in one house in LA. So we rented a house. There's not very many 1980s Michigan looking houses. So we got it, and then the rest were in the original school. So yeah, it happened really fast. And
where is that original school that they shot everything at?
It's right in downtown LA.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what it's called. It's the same one that Clueless was filmed in. Yeah. So.
Was there something in this that surprised you? Something that didn't make it into the documentary that you wanted it in that was surprising but didn't quite make it?
I think until we got Garth Ancier, I wasn't satisfied. And then when he came in, and I got a hold of him on Twitter. I just tweeted him and said, can I get slide into those DMs? And then I did.
You are smooth.
No, but I was really honest. I said, look, everyone's talking about you and I feel like you deserve a chance to say your side of the story. And he was like, yeah, no one's ever asked me. I would love to tell my side. And I really respect him for doing this because everyone hates him.
That's fair.
Yeah. And he's done great things in the film industry too. Like he kept Family Guy on the air and he's done some okay things. I just think he made a mistake and he knows it. But until I had him, I was like, this isn't a doc yet. This isn't,
right.
We're not ending this.
He is the fuel that created the careers for Seth Rogen and Jason Segel and all that stuff. I had heard that story before. I think that Jason Segel got all this mentorship. All those guys got like basically mentored by Judd after the filming was over for that show, and he basically taught them all how to write scripts and stuff.
Yeah, the first thing we did was that seed. The animation, and Freaks and Geeks was the seed, and I kind of like did some branches off of it and realized that these people continue to work together, and they have carved out comedy in the last 15 years. Like there were so many shows that they're a part of. That's how I was like, well, this is a show this deserves a documentary.
Did you get all these original props from the show, or like you had to recreate some props in the sets and stuff in the house, or?
So there's a guy, Gabe Sachs, he's in the movie, and Judd and Paul had said to me, you should get a hold of Gabe, I think he has a few things. And so I got a hold of him, and I went over to his house in LA, and he had this museum. He had like the Norseman head, he had the Parisian night suit, and he had all these photos, and then he handed me this box of mini DVs. Little, like, remember in year 2000, those like mini...
They had, oh,
like,
yeah, I remember mini DV, yeah.
They had an hour long each, and there was a whole box, and he said, this is footage that nobody's ever seen, and just handed it to me.
Oh, like, wow. Like John Francis Daly doing the Raptor thing?
Yeah, or
like,
all of that. Yeah. All of that. The going away party at the end, Linda Cardellini crying.
Oh, man.
Everything. Like, and I would send a few of them to Paul and Judd and be like, whose baby is this? And he'd be like, that's my daughter. Like, it was really... cool. Like, that was, it's archive gold. And we still have it. We're going to do a lot more with it. This is recorded. I should not announce this, but it's going to A&E and Netflix just picked it up, which is super exciting.
Awesome.
Yeah, you can watch it again on Netflix.
Yeah. Don't tell anyone though. But it's going to be in a while. Like, the 20th anniversary is coming up, so we want to do a lot more with all the extra footage. So yeah, the Freaks and Geeks story is just going to
Keep going.
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating that this was an 18-episode, one-season sitcom that didn't make it past episode 12 on airing. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's probably a 12, 13, yeah.
That's insane. I also heard that the Paul Feig and Judd Apatow, they created a website to get the word out about Freaks and Geeks, but NBC wouldn't share the URL.
You probably know more about this.
Yeah, that was where I hung out a lot. That and the, being John Malkovich message boards, if anybody else is here. It was very cool and alternative. Yeah, but I mean, there was this website, and it was Paul and Joe. Who the hell is Joe?
Joe.
I feel like that was where all the communications were coming from. Was like they would talk, but maybe it was Judd and I had dyslexia. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, it was this website, and it was like that was like ground zero for saving the show. Yeah. And you know, you would go there for updates, and they'd say, "Oh, you know, they moved the show again, and it's going to be on this night." And I just remember, A, not having much of a social life, and B, I mean, I tracked it.
Yeah.
I needed to know when the show was on because I'd never seen anything like it. Yeah. And I wonder, because like I wound up following a path similar to Lindsay Weir's.
Oh, wow.
And I wonder so often if it's like a chicken or the egg situation. You know, like, would I have wound up there eventually? Did it get accelerated because of the path that she took? And I was like, oh, it's okay to like be raised crazy Catholic and then be like, nah, let's go smoke weed for a while and figure this out.
Did you follow the dead?
No. You know what? I was so pissed at her. I was so pissed at her for that. Yes. I was like, that band sucks. Go follow a good band, bitch.
Oh, my God. That's
one person laughed is very upset right now.
So sorry. So sorry. Look, listen. Different strokes. Am I allowed to ask questions?
Yes.
Okay, great. Because you got the rights for Bad Reputation and the Styx song, is that why Lady L is not in the film?
Why didn't we put Lady L in there? There was a reason. We couldn't get Grateful Dead song. I really wanted that.
That doesn't bother me at all.
Okay. Why didn't we put Lady L? You know what it was? It came down to all that archive footage where there were stories told, and it was, if it's backed up with footage from 1999, let's go with those stories.
Okay, cool.
So like Millie saying, what did she say? I'm like blanking right now.
Fornicating it.
Yeah. When she said fornicating it, we had all the footage from that day on set. So it's like, let's tell that story. It's a great story. There's probably enough for 18 episodes of a documentary. Yeah, there's enough footage, hundreds of hours.
I'm just curious, do you have a favorite episode of the show? Like a single one?
Yeah, I mean, it's like darken the mood, but the garage door is my favorite because that actually happened to me as a kid.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
That's it. We can go home. We're good. Yeah, I mean, that's what I love about this show is that like all the humor does come kind of from you know, a real place. And a lot of these things happened to every one of us when we were kids. And that's why I think this show keeps going. Like, this is, just because there's iPads and phones doesn't matter. Like, these are still very universal high school themes that we all went through. That's why it's real.
You biked around your town with a clicker?
No, it's similar, actually. Like a similar story. Do you want me to really get into this? That's what you're doing right now, Paco?
Was it like a scooter or?
What the hell is going on?
What do they call garage door openers in Canada?
They call them garage door openers. They call them parents getting divorced now.
Are we at the point where we're going to take some questions? I see some hands going up.
Sure, we can take some questions.
I'm going to run out to you on the side over here.
George is doing his best Phil Donahue impression.
Let's talk about it.
So you had gold with the amount of footage you had to pull from, but was there anything that you didn't have in behind the scenes that you wish you had?
Was there any footage?
Yeah, was there anything missing from behind the scenes that you wish you had had an opportunity to have?
Missing.
Yeah, from the archival footage. Like, you obviously had a huge amount of archival footage, but was there anything that you wish you had had?
So it took us a really long time to get Franco's audition tape. It wasn't in the pile of stuff. And I guess he didn't want it in there for the DVD extras. So we had to really hunt. And for a while, I was like, we can't have all of the audition tapes not have Franco's. So that took a long time. We ended up, Allison Jones had it in like a basement. She found it. Yeah. And then Judd also found it. So we did find it. That was one, though. We hunted for like a good couple months.
I'm really glad you had the Allison Jones interview, because I remember there was a big article about her, because she obviously goes on to like cast a bunch of things and always specializes in like weird looking people.
Yeah, I mean, Allison Jones is the nerd guru. Like, she's every show that you, like, if you want to think of Freaks and Geeks as the seed and do a branch, you should do it with Allison Jones. Every person that you like, I bet, has been cast by Allison Jones. Veep, The Office, Arrested Development, all of Seth Rogen's movies, all of Judd Apatow's movies, all of Paul Feig's movies. Like, she really has a knack for finding people, and she's very shy. She doesn't want to watch this movie. And I'm like, you have to watch this. This is like an homage to what you do. But you know, I grew up in Vancouver, and the Seth Rogen story of how he was found, like 16-year-old kid, he'd done a little bit of stand-up, and he got scooped and went to Hollywood, is like a real story that goes around. So yeah, it's really, really cool.
It's awesome.
See any more hands out there? Anyone else? Okay, I got another one, yeah.
Yes.
Hello, great doc.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. This is peculiar that the pilot script got picked up, no notes, no alterations, because I have seen somewhere on the internet or something, the original, not the treatment, but the prospectus for the series, where it's like, this is what it's about. And there were freaks, geeks, jocks, and farmers. The farmer kids would wear plaid before it was cool, and some of them wore overalls. That was dropped entirely. Did that get mentioned at all?
No.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering.
No, it's great. No, this is like, there's always new little gems that we find out every time. So I'll ask. No, I didn't know there was farmers.
It is Michigan.
It's in a fake town called Chippewa, Michigan, which is right in Canada, and there's a lot of farmers in Canada. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. Any other questions? We have another one.
Getting my workout. All right.
Hi.
Hi.
So one of the things that Freaks and Geeks was up against was that it was a show before of its time in terms of the format. As a filmmaker, do you see anything like that today, something that's before its time that's not being widely accepted, but you think it's going to be the future?
Like right now, is there a show that's before its time, you think?
A show or a new format of storytelling.
Jeez.
What about Stranger Things?
Yeah, I mean, Stranger Things, for sure. But it's in the right time.
You mean kind of like one single camera as like an example of a breaking of the format? Or like, it's like an hour-long show too, right? This was like an hour-long show.
I wonder what show's doing it now. I mean, what's amazing that's happening right now is shows are getting a chance to finish. Or like Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a great example of, that's a great show. And if I wish that was the same era for Freaks and Geeks, somebody else would have picked it up. Judd said a bunch of times, if HBO was around properly in 1999 the way it is now, they would have taken Freaks and Geeks and it would have lasted 10 seasons.
Community is kind of a similar story a lot of like fans keeping it alive, and it got just ended up on Yahoo at the end. I never watched that last season on Yahoo, but yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. It's like, it's really hard to get your movies out there too. It's like, who do you go with? I think of Portlandia a lot. If Portlandia went to a big network like NBC, they wouldn't have got 10 seasons, but they chose to go to IFC, and IFC gave them a chance and let that show breathe, and it had 10 seasons, and it's like, wow, what a great, I don't know, like it's, I think that's that format, or like that strategy for a show is really important.
Yeah, like the networks aren't as, I mean, there's just so many more options than just the four channels that there were in like, I mean, there's obviously cable back in the 2000s, but yeah.
Our last, we had a documentary here at SF DocFest the 2 years ago called Pistol Shrimps. It's about Aubrey Plaza's rec league basketball team. I think you were there. I remember you there, yeah. It's, you know, NBC picked it up. I keep bashing on NBC, like they were great. They picked it up, but it had a really hard life. Like it's now on Stars as of this week. It just launched.
Oh, I have Stars. I'm the only guy with Stars. Yeah. I'll watch it.
Yeah, but it's funny because it's been 2 years of just, it's a great film. I really am like really proud of it. But it's hard, like it's really hard to get films picked up. And sometimes you think you're going the right way. Like signing with NBC was a dream and then didn't work out. It's like, it's funny the way the world works with this stuff. The A&E has been a crazy great partner for this film. Like they're the opposite of NBC in 1999. They've let me do whatever I want with this thing, so.
Do you know when it's gonna be available on A&E or kind of in general?
Yeah, it's airing July 25th on A&E, so it's coming up. Cool. It's part of this series called Culture Shock that they're doing, and it's moments in pop culture that have changed history. And they came to us and said, do you wanna do one? And I think this is a moment that's really changed a lot.
And you've been doing a bunch of film festivals, right? Where, what are they mostly documentary fests, or where else have you been showing?
Yeah, we did Tribeca Film Festival in New York. We did, and Paul Feig was there. That was really fun. And then we did Doxa in Vancouver, and actually Lee Shepard came, and Seth Rogen's mom came. That was great. Awesome. And then we just did Hot Docs in Toronto for like 1,200 people. It was awesome. I keep making this sound terrible. This is really fun too, I promise.
What are you guys watching documentary-wise? What are you guys watching right now?
I'm obsessed with Wild Wild Country, which everyone here has probably seen, but I can't believe I never knew about what was happening when I was a child. It's mind-blowing. So that's I'm obsessed. I'm rewatching.
I'm a chef's table bitch myself. Oh, yeah. I'm all about that life. Pastry chefs, I'm so stoked.
Nice.
I watched most of Evil Genius. I kind of got to finish it, but that's insane. That's an insane story. Brent, are you watching a lot of stuff?
Yeah, I watch a lot of doc. I listen to your podcast. I'm like a huge doc fan. Gary Shanley, Judd's new film you should watch if you get a
the
chance.
The Zen Diaries.
It's 4 hours long, but you know, right now is an incredible time for documentary filmmakers.
And like, documentary podcasts.
Was that? But it's like, it's kind of the heyday, and I've like, look at your favorite shows right now. Look at the hot docs on Netflix right now. When I started making films in Canada, it was like NFB or CBC, and if they don't pick up your film, like, that's it. There wasn't even YouTube yet, so that's it. And now it's like Netflix, Hulu, like HBO, you can actually pitch this, like,
Stars.
Stars, yeah. But I just think what's happening with docs is they used to all get lumped into one category, and now it's really separating. There's true crime documentaries, there's sociopolitical, there's comedy docs, pop culture docs, and I really feel like we're kind of veering into this comedy doc world, which is I always wanted to do, and I think real life's funny, and we should laugh more.
Amen. Right? Clap for that. Yeah, I'm with that. Yeah. So I think we're going to wrap it up here, George.
Yeah.
Right?
Check it out. 14 rock toms, 6 floor toms.
Woo! George, go.
5
go.
Snare drums.
7.
Are you doing the audition?
All on my patented quadruple kick system.
That was awesome.
You're going to hire me, Brett? You're going to hire me?
Yeah, that was good. You want, am I supposed to cast you? I didn't make the show, but anyway, yeah.
Can you introduce me to Allison Jones?
Yeah, I can.
I am, okay.
Good luck bringing that up to an even 30.
Did you know, they wanted Britney Spears in this.
Right, yeah, so that Paul told this story. I mean, they were trying everything to get this show going in 1999, but they wanted Britney Spears to do like a cameo. And that was kind of, I think that was like what broke it, where Judd and Paul were like, no, like we're not doing that. We're not gonna do that. We're not having some like young teeny bopper star on this.
Right.
And they're like, all right, and they canceled it.
It did wonders when they had Juliana Hatfield on My So-Called Life, though.
That's true.
Did a lot for both parties, I'm sure.
Another good ones, yeah.
Hey, you guys, thank you guys coming out for seeing this.
So
it's really awesome.
Thank you, DocFest. Thank you, Jeff Ross.
Yeah. Give it up for Brent Hodgie.
Brent Hodgie, everyone. This is Kelly Anakin.
Kelly Anakin. David Klein.
I'm Paco Romaine.
And I'm George Chen. But we are Sup Doc Podcast. You can find us on iTunes, on the internet. We have 90 episodes right now of us talking about documentaries with really cool, interesting people. So check us out. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Thanks a lot. Good night. Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Sup Doc at supdocpodcast.com. And follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Donate today to SupDoc through our Patreon. And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
Our theme song was written by David Siegel, and our show was engineered by Will Scoville.
If you want us to cover a doc, have suggestions for guests, or you just want to reach out, please email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.